Avengers, with the word found in the 14th chapter of Hosea, reading the second verse. Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Hosea, true prophet of God, was raised up at a season when Israel, for the most part, had departed from her God. The prophecy contains many, many solemn things, as Israel's sin is revealed, her provokings of God, her wanderings, her lust, the judgments of God are pronounced upon her because of her sin. The burden of her condition laid upon the prophet of God, and he was anointed of God to pronounce those solemn things concerning her and to make known that way of salvation, that way of deliverance. O Israel, we read, the very words indicate the deep burden which laid upon the soul of this dear man of God. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Amidst all the distresses, amidst these judgments of God against her, this prophet of God was enabled to set before her that one way of relief. So it is with every true sent servant of God. They must pronounce sin and salvation. They must speak as help is afforded of that path of gracious repentance, godly sorrow over sin, that turning around from paths of unrighteousness to a God rich in mercy. We have read in the former chapter those words which reveal so much. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And surely this is a place to which, in their measure, every living soul is brought. God only knoweth the exercise of each one of us here today. These things are not known unto us, and for that we are truly thankful. We have felt persuaded that we must venture with such a word as this Sabbath day. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Firstly, it was spoken to Israel. Israel was at rest here. Such words as this are not to be spoken to those that are not in the covenant of grace. There is to be a pronouncing of these words in Zion, but the Lord would address such command as is contained here to the hearts of his people. O Israel, who can deny that such a word is needful in the day in which our lot is cast? Needful in the nation. What nation? Above God's chosen people have been favored more than this land of ours. And yet, how we have fallen by our iniquity. Fallen into a sad place. Now, though nominally a Christian land, there is but little evidence amongst us of such being our condition. O Israel, Zion reeleth to and fro because of the desolations within her midst. O Israel, not only a word nationally, but a word that is so applicable to the Church of God. O Israel, again we must come close. As the Spirit searches our hearts, we desire it, we trust we can say, and yet we have to reel to and fro under this searching at seasons, as there is that revealed which we had ne'er seen before. O Israel, if such then is our condition, what way, what source of relief can there be? The Lord here, through his prophet, mercifully sets forth that way. Return unto the Lord thy God. Return. Such then have known former blessing. Such have been favored of God of old. Israel truly had been so. She'd been brought forth from Egyptian bondage. She'd been set free from the yoke of oppression. Moses, the servant of God, was raised up to lead her forth through the wilderness in unto the promised land. O Israel, she'd fallen by her sin. Oft within that journey she murmured and repined. The Lord laid his judgments upon them. Not only during that journey, but having possessed the land, how we find again and again, she provoked God, her God, by her sin. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Take with you words. People then addressed is Israel, God's chosen people. The path set before them is one of returning. Turning around again, as we have already said, that is repentance. That is repentance. 'Twas the very theme of the ministry of John the Baptist. 'Twas that which Christ came to preach, repent. Repentance. He came not to save the righteous, but call sinners unto repentance. Return thou unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. Oh, how soothing it is to the troubled conscience to realize that the gospel is proclaimed unto the poor and the needy, unto these that are made to feel and realize their sinnership. They've fallen by their iniquity. But O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Take with you words. See then the path that must be trod. Take with you. They indicate, do they not, a way. It is God's appointed way. Take with you words. And this in no way indicates the creature shall be left to walk, traverse this path in its own strength. For the Lord here speaks unto Israel. O Israel, return. And how doth he speak? How are these things made now? Feel to put it somewhat like this. 'Tis as the law is applied. Conviction of sin is realized. As the Spirit reveals unto that soul their condition, even in some measure, before a holy, heart-searching God. Thus the Lord speaks. He lays the burden upon that soul. We've sung together in the opening hymn of that burden of sin. that oppression of guilt. The Lord reveals these things by the teaching of his Holy Spirit. He speaks thus to that soul, O Israel. Is he speaking to us even this Sabbath day? By these means, not only doth he speak with that still small voice, there are seasons, yea, when his voice is heard, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Take with you words. There's that season of that persuasion. It may be where'er thou dost go under the sound of truth, where'er thou dost look within the word of God, there is that same persuasion. Thou art directed by the Spirit to those words which so lay with weight upon thy spirit that make thee to realize thy sinnership. God speaks thus by his Spirit as the soul is convicted of sin, and not only in those first stages of the work of grace, but again and again. Dear David realized it. Oh, did he not walk in this path? Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. The very words of the 51st Psalm reveal this. The Spirit constrained him to walk in that path of confession, godly sorrow over sin, heartfelt repentance and turning again unto his God. Take with you words. Thou art the man. Deep are the wounds which sin hath made. Oh, where can this sinner find any cure for those wounds? 'Tis alone as they are brought by the eternal God to turn again unto him. Godly sorrow, much is spoken in the name of religion, but oh, 'tis this weeping before God, this pouring out of the soul in the closet, in the secrecy of the closet before thy God, which is the very kernel, if we might express it so, of true religion. O Israel, take with you words. He lays this dear man of God thus, indicted by the Spirit, sets before Israel that source, that course which they must take. Turn again and take with you words. Oh, then how is it with thee? Hast thou, even in the week now past, been caused to walk in a little measure in this path? Brought down under the conviction of sin, made to see thyself a sinner vile in the sight of an holy God. The corruptions of thine heart have risen up. And the Lord hath made these things known unto thee. David for a season walked in ignorance of his condition. He saw not that he was provoking God to anger by his actions until one was sent. And oh, how oft this is. It may be that one has been sent to thee to make thee realize. It may be that the Lord in his mercy hath opened thine eyes by his judgments. His hand hath pressed sore upon thy spirit. He hath pressed thee down, made thee to realize thy condition, made thee to see the source of all this evil, thine own corrupt, depraved heart, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. O Israel, take with you words. Is not this, as it were, the first glimmer of hope unto this poor, needy sinner under conviction of sin, reeling to and fro like a drunken man and at his wit's end? Say, is not this the first ray of hope in this darksome place? Take with you. 'Tis a lowly path. It is a humble path, and I feel to say that path leads unto Gethsemane and unto Calvary. Take with you words. Some may question as to what it is that these poor needy sinners who feel so dumbfounded at the judgments of God feel they cannot open their mouths under this oppression. Such is the condition that they feel, as it were, the very ground is removed from beneath their feet. The word of the Lord has severely tried them. They feel themselves lost and ruined. But take with you words. This surely indicates that which proceedeth from the heart. It is not a mere words of the lips. These are not acceptable to God. It is that broken heart, that contrite spirit, and such that proceeds from such a place. This God will not despise. He will not, oh how blessed are those words, he will not despise the prayer of the destitute. Take with you words. Again, we are persuaded that where God is so teaching and instructing in his way, as he gives the command to return, he will enable the soul to comply. O Israel, take with you words. May be, and often is, to such in these places, broken words, feeble desires, wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. Take with you words. As the Lord's hand presseth thee sore, so know what it is to come with the psalmist. All my desire is before thee, and my groanings are not hid from thee. Take with you in this path, it's a secret path. Oh, 'tis that which is hidden from the professor and the profane. Oh, 'tis that which the eagle's eye hath not seen. 'Tis a hidden path. 'Tis that which is transacted betwixt heaven and earth. Take with you. There be that constraint upon thy spirit to venture unto thy God. Did not one of the dear disciples say, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Take with you. Take with you words. And oh, What are these? What is that which is acceptable to God? What is that which the Spirit will indite within? It is the prayers of this broken-hearted, contrite sinner as they seek for mercy before Jesus' sake. They know what it is to come in the very language of the publican of old. They know what it is to cry for mercy under this teaching of the Spirit of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Take with you words. The constraint will be such that this is the only way whereby thou canst venture before thy God. Stripped of all creature righteousness, made to realize these things are filthy. They're obnoxious in the sight of God. The language of thy soul will be, nothing in my hand I bring, take with you. Words. Is the soul coming? There's one that shall come unto the Lord in his distress. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless come to thee for grace. It's just a way whereby these souls come. Constrained by the love of God. Perhaps thou canst not realize it now. But this in reality is the effect of that love of God toward thy soul. He's bringing thee to his feet. The love of God constraineth us. There's a constraint here which only those that are brought under the conviction of sin, these that are made to realize their condition, know anything of. They venture, as Esther ventured, into the presence of that earthly monarch. The sentence of death lay upon her and her people. But go she must. Go she must. Who knoweth, will thou come to the kingdom? For such a time as this, she must go. Take with you words. Words. This reveals confession, prayer, godly sorrow over sin. These are the words which these sinners will have proceeding from their hearts. This is the path that they shall come, trembling, fearfully. Yea, oh, how oft it is that such come under that dread, as it were, of the frown of God because of their sins. We feel we know a little of the reality of those lines, which the hymn writer spake of. Without thy peace and presence, Lord, not all the world can help afford. Oh, do not frown my soul away, but smile my darkness into day. Smile my darkness into day. There's a venturing sinner. There's one that's coming with confession. There's one that seeth himself nothing but blackness, nothing but vileness within. There's one that hath been shown their iniquity. These things have been revealed unto them by the Spirit of God. But further than that, Israel, God's covenant people are made to see by living faith. One name is Jesus, came to seek and to save that which was lost. His name should be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Take with you. Oh, venture thus. This is the course, this is the way whereby thee shall come, constrained by that power divine. Nothing short of this can produce godly sorrow. This we have to live to prove. Our heart is hard. Except it be softened by the God of all grace. We walk indifferent to his judgments until he is pleased to open our eyes to the folly of our ways. Take with you words. Do we come this Sabbath morn then under such, in such a path? Or is it the very exercise of our soul as we venture before him in the earthly sanctuary? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Take with you these broken words. This weeping before God, is there a sowing in tears? Is a true sorrow of heart because of thine iniquity? Is the burden of sin such upon thy spirit that thou must venture before thy Redeemer? Take with you words. You said your David came in this manner. He knew what it was to pour out his soul before God, to literally unburden his bosom in the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth, to tell him all. This is the source of relief. Is venturing to the throne of grace and pouring out of thy soul before thy God. Further is that pleading for Jesus' sake, take with you words. There is that by faith of beholding that blessed atonement for sin, take with you words. Oh, this is the approach of this humble, contrite sinner. They will not rush headlong, as it were, into the more immediate presence of God. They'll come treading softly. We read concerning dear Ruth, she came softly. We read of a woman in the gospel who came up behind Christ weeping. One said concerning her, she was a sinner. A truth indeed, though he spake it in scorn. She felt it, and thus it was she came. Oh, nothing could hinder her. Nothing could prevent her. Such was her need. She felt the need of Christ. He was made precious unto her in the very want of him. Oh, is it so? Is it so with thee? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners could take with you words. Is it not a pleading of the merits of Christ? Or is it not that looking by faith unto that atonement for sin? We read of the Aaron, as he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague was stayed, the wrath of God was to be poured out upon Israel because of their iniquity, because of their murmurings, because of their sins. The burden of this lay upon that priest, that he stood between. Is not this a blessed type of the Lord Jesus Christ? He who stands between an offended God and a sinner in his sin, who hath wrought reconciliation, who hath suffered, bled, and died, that atonement might be made for the sins of his people. Take with you words. The sinner is enabled, humbly enabled, to lift the eye of faith unto Gethsemane and Calvary, and there to behold one who hath wrought salvation for sinners, and their hope is centered there. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And there they're enabled to plead. This path, it is to the foot of the cross. It is to Calvary. It is that which the soul traverses, stooping, humbled beneath the mighty hand of God. No path there for the erect Pharisee, but this sinner, bowed down under grief, prostrate oft upon the ground like as a worm before their God, a guilty, weak, and helpless worm. On thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. The path leads to Calvary. Take with you the words. There, the soul is encouraged. The Spirit revives that drooping spirit. And that one is enabled by faith to plead that which Christ hath wrought. There they see and behold their acceptance. The finished work of the Lamb of God. Take with you words. Oh, what encouragement there is here to this poor and needy sinner. This one stricken by sin. This one that is reeling to and fro, and is indeed at their wit's end, knoweth not oft what to do, feeling, oh, we've come as we are to that place, feeling to be finished, utterly crushed beneath the hand of God, feeling that the very things we'd hoped for had been brought to naught. The Lord, oh, it was this, as if the only word that's brought any comfort to one's own soul was this: God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Take with you words. This then set before the eye of faith, this course of action, if we might so reverently speak of it, this only way of relief to this soul that hath destroyed itself by its own sin, to look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. Take with you words. There is then a pleading. There's power in that name of Christ. Precious name of Christ. It is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. Loves to hear his children. And all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. Take with you. Again, I emphasize it. The Spirit. Spirit leads us all, he'll enable them to take these words. The creature cannot produce them. Well, we know we cannot produce one good desire from such a heart as ours. But when the Spirit indwells, oh, what relief there is in that Spirit indwelling prayer. When the soul is enabled to venture before the Almighty with their burden, with their grief, and plead that precious name of Christ, take with you words. To plead that which Christ hath wrought, oh, to see by faith the blessed atonement for sin. Jesus in the sinner's place. The wrath of God poured out upon the dear Lamb of God, his only begotten Son. Poured out upon him that sinners might be set free from their desires. Take with you. Oh, plead that which Christ hath wrought. Plead that precious sacrifice for sin. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Away from all creature help. Hosea further bids this people, Israel, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth rest. The more we strive against sin's power, we sin and stumble but the more till late. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither. I am the way. Take with you words. Pleading for mercy. Pleading for acceptance. In and through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it is that blood thou desirest. Oh, canst thou see in that thine only hope of salvation? When I see the blood, I will pass over. Thus Israel was preserved in that day of God's visitation. He saw the blood sprinkled upon the doorposts. He passed over the inhabitants of those places. Much is spoken of. It is alone this that is true religion, to the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our conscience. We feel more and more must be to know these realities. This alone can effect an entrance into glory, washed, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the sin that saved sinners, such that have been walked in some measure in these paths. These deep paths, reeling to and fro because of the oppression of the enemy, the adversary rising up against them. I flee unto thee to hide me, saith the psalmist. His name is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto it and is safe. Take with you words. Oh, consider that one, fleeing to that city of refuge. Pursued by the adversary, Satan pursue thee? Doth guilt lie upon thy spirit? But oh, see thy safety in Christ. Look to Jesus. Take with you words, not mere words that come from the lips, but that which proceeds from the heart, indicted by the Spirit of God, pouring out thy soul in confession, bowing down before thy God, confessing thy guilt, bestowed by God, graciously bestowed, with that spirit of godly sorrow, that true repentance. Oh, it is a gift of God, a gift of God. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It is repentance. Repentance. And oh, this is that which is so needful. Needful in our land. Needful in our churches. Needful within our own souls. Is there craving? A broken, contrite heart. Dost thou crave it? To this man will I look. To this one, man, woman, or child, it is favored thus with that broken, contrite heart, even one that trembles at thy word. Oh, how pleasing it is! How it doth rejoice the soul to hear of those who have been brought under this conviction of sin, who have heard the word of the gospel, who have had to venture to Christ. And he that cometh thus, he will in no wise turn away. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and they shall come in this way, with weeping and with supplication, pleading that which Christ hath wrought for them and in them too. That is their hope. Oh, I say, how pleasing it is to hear the language, even of those bleatings of the lambs, bleatings of the lambs, as such seek to speak, as they feel so all feebly of Christ. We remember a season when a dear servant of God said from the pulpit that he'd heard the bleatings of the lambs that day. It raised a little hope within one's own spirit that those things which have been spoken were indeed of God. Little we thought they evidenced any sign of love, but oh, how it raised a little hope. We'd ne'er forget it. The bleatings of the lambs, they come with words. Yea, these broken words, these sighs, these cries, even these groans, they're noted in heaven. Poor and the needy, these poor and needy souls venturing to the Lord, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, oh, this is not presumption. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. How can any poor sinner thus speak, as it were, unto the Lord? It is only as they view by faith that provision of that one sacrifice for sin. Take away all iniquity and receive us.
Clear by saying, hey, my grave has 6 feet. Terrible. communion of the Holy Spirit be with you each.